Chapter 1. London, October 30th, 1425. The stench of the Thames made Sir James Raeburn's eyes water as he rode through the angry crowd. The Winchester geese, the prostitutes who worked this side of the river under the bishop's regulation, would not do much business today. The men filling the street were not here to seek pleasures banned inside the city. They were spoiling for a fight. Earlier, Jamie had crossed the river to gauge the mood within the city of London and found it on the verge of riot. The crowd grew thicker as he neared London Bridge. Men glared at him but moved out of the way of his war horse. As he pushed through them, his thoughts returned to the evening before. There had been far too many men-at-arms at the bishop's palace. Over supper, Jamie had tried to discern the bishop's intent in bringing so many armed men to Winchester Palace. Under the bishop's watchful eye, however, none of the other guests dared speak of it. Instead, they pressed Jamie for news of the fighting in France. He obliged them, telling them of the recent battle against the Dauphin's forces. As he warmed to his tale, the ladies leaned forward, hands pressed to their creamy bosoms. He liked to tell stories. Just when he had begun to enjoy himself, Lynette's words came back to him. "What you need, Jamie Raeburn, is a dull English wife who will be content to spend her evenings listening to you recite tiresome tales of your victories." After all these years, Lynette's ridicule still rankled. He had brought his story to an abrupt end and left the bishop's hall for bed. Damn the woman. 5 years since he'd seen her, and she could still ruin his evening. Calling him boring was the least of Lynette's crimes against him. No matter that he was 3 years older and she was not quite 16 at the time, next to her he'd been a babe in the woods. It embarrassed him to recall how he had worn his heart on his sleeve back then. While he professed eternal love and adoration, Lynette used him without a shred of guilt or regret. After the debacle, he had left Paris at once in the hope of reaching England before his letter. But nay, he had to suffer the additional mortification of telling his family he and Lynette were not betrothed after all. Thinking of her now put him in a foul mood. God's beard, he could not breathe with all these people hemming him in. Judging by Thunder's snorts and flattened ears, his horse felt the same. "We've seen enough," Jamie said, patting Thunder after the horse snapped at a fool who got too close. As Jamie turned his horse to return to the bishop's palace, someone grabbed hold of his boot. He lifted his whip, but checked his arm when he saw it was an old man. "Please, sir, help me." The old fellow's eye was purple with a fresh bruise. From his clothing, Jamie guessed he was not part of the rabble, but a servant of some noble household. Jamie leaned down. "What can I do for you?" "The crowd separated me from my mistress," the man said, his voice high and tremulous. "Now they've taken my mule and I cannot reach her." "Sweet Lamb of God, a lady was alone in this mob? Where? Where is she?" The old man pointed toward the bridge. When Jamie turned to look, he wondered how he had missed her. London Bridge was 300 yards long, with shops and houses projecting off both sides. But in the gap created by the drawbridge, Jamie had a clear view of a lady in a bright blue and yellow gown, sitting astride a white palfrey. She stuck out from the horde around her like a peacock atop a dunghill. "Out of my way, out of my way," Jamie shouted, waving his whip from side to side above the heads of the crowd. Men flung themselves aside to avoid the hooves of his horse as he forced his way forward through the throng. As he rode up onto the bridge, he heard the familiar sound of an army on the move. He turned and saw men-at-arms marching up the river from the bishop's palace. God's blood, the bishop had even sent archers. The mass of people caught on the bridge began to panic as word spread of the men-at-arms marching toward them. As Jamie pushed his way over the first part of the bridge, their shouts echoed off the buildings that connected overhead. He was still 20 yards from the lady when he heard her scream. Hands were grabbing at her, attempting to pull her off the horse. She fought back like a savage, striking at them with her whip. Someone caught hold of her headdress. Despite the noise on the bridge, Jamie heard the gasps of the men around her as a cascade of white gold hair fell over her shoulders to her hips. The air went out of him. There was only one woman in Christendom with hair like that, Lynette, and she was in grave danger. "Do not touch her," he roared. He raised his sword and pulled the reins, making Thunder rear to clear his way. He pushed forward through the seething mass. As he fought his way the last few yards, he heard Lynette's voice over the clamor, cursing the men in both French and English. A burly man gripped her thigh with a filthy hand, and murder roiled through Jamie. Just as Lynette raised her whip to bring it down on the man, she looked up and saw Jamie. Their gazes locked, and all the sounds around him faded away. "Hold on," he shouted. She was hanging off the side, clutching at her saddle with both hands. God help him, she would be trampled to death in another moment. Her horse had remained remarkably steady until now. With its rider unsettled, however, it was wild-eyed, tossing its head and sidestepping into the crowd. Jamie's heart went to his throat as Lynette swung sideways and slammed against her horse's side. She was hanging on by one hand when Jamie finally broke through to her. With one sweep of his sword, he slashed two men as he leaned down and caught Lynette around the waist with his other arm and lifted her up onto his horse. Praise God he had her. Now he just had to get her off this damned bridge before arrows started flying. My horse, she said, twisting to look over his shoulder. Without warning, she leaned over the side of his horse with both arms outstretched. Was the woman mad? He gripped her tighter as she reached out to catch hold of her horse's loose rein with her fingertips. She sat up and gave him a triumphant grin as she held it up in her hand. Good God, she hadn't changed a bit. She was happiest in the midst of tumult and trouble. She felt so slight against him. It seemed a miracle she'd been able to fight off those men and stay on her horse for so long. But anyone who touched her now would be a dead man. Jamie was a battle-hardened knight. Now that he had her, he had no doubt he could protect her from the rabble. Flying arrows, however, were another matter. By a miracle, he managed to reach the end of the bridge a hair's breadth before the bishop's men blocked the way. Then he rode east along the river, away from the bridge and the crowd, until his heartbeat returned to normal. They were a quarter mile down the river before he spoke. What in God's name were you doing on the bridge? An idiot could see that was no place to be today. Lynette turned around to look at him. This time, with the danger past, his heart did a flip-flop in his chest. In addition to everything else she was, did she have to be so beautiful? It was the curse of his life. "'Tis nice to see you too, Jamie Rayburn." She cocked her head and raised an eyebrow. After all this time, I expected a better greeting. He fixed his gaze dead ahead and grunted. God in heaven, how could she be so cool after what just happened on the bridge? When she leaned lightly against him, his chest prickled with sensation. Lust and longing took him like a fever. He should put her on her own horse now. When did you arrive in London? She asked. Yesterday. After a long pause, she said, are you going to tell me what you are doing here in England? Nay. Or ask why I am here? Nay. He felt her sigh against his chest. Against his will, he remembered other sighs, other times. He had to get rid of her. I trust your servant will make his own way back. Where shall I deliver you? The bishop's palace, she said. I can find someone there to escort me to my lodgings. As soon as he saw Lynette safely inside the palace, he left her. The next morning, Jamie had to attend to his second assignment, keeping the young widowed queen safe in the crisis. He started the 6-mile ride to Eltham Palace as soon as he broke his fast. Shortly after he arrived, he was taken to the queen's private parlor. As he entered, Queen Catherine, a fragile-looking woman of 24, rose to greet him. "Your Highness," he said, dropping to one knee. When he looked up, he caught the flicker of sadness in her eyes and knew he reminded her of that awful day at Vincennes outside Paris. He was one of the knights who had carried the dying king into the castle, where the queen waited for him. "I am so pleased you have come, Sir James," she said, holding her hand out for his kiss. She looked past him and smiled, "as I believe my friend is also, no?" He turned to follow the queen's gaze. Lynette swept past him to stand beside Queen Catherine. With her stubborn jaw and her chin tilted up, she looked more regal than the queen. And here he was, on his knees, groveling at her feet once more. At the queen's nod, he got up. "My friend says you would not tell her what brings you back to England," the queen said with a coquettish smile. "But you dare not refuse me. I've come at the behest of the Duke of Bedford, who is concerned for your comfort and well-being." He could not tell her of Bedford's other charge to him. "He has always been kind to me," the queen said in a soft voice. She did not need to add, "unlike Gloucester." "I have an errand of my own as well," Jamie added, surprising himself. "I've come home to marry." Lynette's quick intake of breath was gratifying. The queen clapped her hands. "How delightful." "I have so many tiresome tales of my victories to tell," he said, "that I really must take a wife." The queen laughed, though she could not have understood the jest. Turning to Lynette, she asked, "What sort of lady should we find for our handsome James?" Lynette looked at him with her direct ice-blue eyes and said, "I think he should please himself." Oblivious to the edge in Lynette's voice, the queen clasped her hands together and beamed at him. "Tell us, Sir James, what lady would please you?" "A dull English lady," Jamie said, turning to meet Lynette's steady gaze. the kind who makes a virtuous wife.